We're talking about fear and conflict, and this section is on page 28 in the text at the very beginning, and it's an incredible section that I always teach best what I need to hear, so that's what I need to hear today. So talk about it. And on Wednesday, like I said, let's discuss, let's talk. You know, so, I always like to use Wednesday for more of a discussion group and get a chance to see how we can take them to our personal experience. So I'll read through it right quick, and then we'll come back and see what the juice is. It says, being afraid seems to be involuntary, something beyond your own control. Yet I've already said that only constructive acts should be involuntary. My control, and that's your higher self, can take over everything that doesn't matter, and my guidance can direct everything that does if you so choose. Fear cannot be controlled by me, but fear can be self-controlled. Fear prevents me from giving you mind control. The presence of fear shows that you have raised body thoughts to the level of the mind. This removes them from my control. It makes you feel personally responsible for them. This is an obvious confusion of levels. I don't foster level confusion, but you must choose the correct level confusion. You would not excuse insane behavior on your part by saying you couldn't help it. Why should you condone insane thinking on your part by saying you can't help it? Mm-hmm. There's a confusion here that you would do well to look at clearly. You may believe that you are responsible for what you do, but not for what you think. The truth is that you are responsible for what you think, because it's only at this level, the level of what you think, that you can exercise choice. What you do comes from what you think. What you do comes from what you think. You can't separate yourself from the truth by giving autonomy to behavior, saying, I can't help myself. Your behavior is controlled by me, your higher self, automatically as soon as you place what you think under the guidance of your higher self, which is the truth. Whenever you are afraid, it's a sure sign that you've allowed your mind to miscreate and have not allowed your higher self to guide your mind. It's pointless to believe that by controlling the outcome of misthought, that that's going to result in healing. When you are fearful, you have chosen wrongly. When you are fearful, you have chosen wrongly. That is why you feel responsible for it. You must change your mind, not your behavior. You must change your mind, not your behavior. You must change your mind, not your behavior. And changing your mind is a matter of willingness. You don't need guidance except at the mind level. You don't need guidance except at the mind level. It's page 29 in the text. You don't need guidance except at the mind level. Correction belongs at the level where change is possible, which is at the mind level. Change doesn't mean anything at the symptom or behavioral level where it can't work. Because we can always behave opposite of what we think. So you really haven't changed until you change your way of thinking, because, you know, we meet people all the time that's behaving opposite to how they think. We behave sometimes opposite to how we think. We'll think one way and act entirely. That happens a lot during the holidays. As a matter of fact, that's where it tends to rule, where people around relatives and whatever, and then they're acting one way, but they really are thinking and feeling another way on the inside. So the course is saying that real change only happens at the thought level. It doesn't really happen at the level of behavior, even though definitely your behavior should correspond with what you think and what you believe as much as possible, so that you'll be in harmony with yourself. It says, you're much too, I love this, he says, change doesn't mean anything at the symptom level where it can't work. The correction of fear is your responsibility. When you ask for release from fear, you are implying that it's not your responsibility to release yourself from fear. So you should ask instead for help in the conditions that have brought the fear about. So if you are feeling fear or conflict in any area of your life right now, you should ask for help in the conditions that are bringing your fear about. And then you will let go of the fear. You know, if I'm hiking and I come up on a mountain lion, that would seem like it was the condition that was causing my fear. Mm-hmm. If somebody got rid of the mountain lion or hit left, I'd let my fear go. So it's not really, you release your fear, but you release your fear when you release the conditions that bring your fear about.
Fear, right? You got glare in my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all are much too cute not to be able to see. It don't make no sense. It don't make no now. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that things are better in here. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, right. Okay. Says these conditions that bring your fear about always entail a willingness to be separate. At that level, you can help it. You are much too tolerant of mind wandering and are passively condoning your mind's miscreation. The particular result doesn't matter, but the fundamental error does. The correction is always the same. Before you choose to do anything, ask me, which me is either spirit, God, higher self, whatever term works for you. Ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. If you're sure it is, there will be no fear. That sentence, what I first read, it's such a powerful sentence. If you're getting ready to do something and you ask your inner self or your higher self, if that choice is in accord with yourself, if it really is, then he said there will be no fear.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was in the wrong place.
It's all good.
We're on page 29 in the text. So if there's a decision for you to make about anything and you're really in accord with yourself, you will feel confident about it, you will feel peaceful about it, you won't feel fear about it. Most people do just the opposite. They make a decision and then they go ahead and do it whether they feel any peace about it or not. If anything, they use the conflict as a challenge and go, well, you know, even though I'm feeling all this fear, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. You know, if you're listening to spirit and you're really in tune with yourself, your decisions will feel right to you. When you make a right decision, you'll feel like a weight's been lifted off of you. You'll feel better within yourself. You'll feel more peaceful within yourself. So as much as possible, we need to act from that space, even though we know we're not going to be able to do it all the time, simply because if we were already healed, there would be no need for us to learn anything. So we're going to sometimes do things without feeling peace about it, but when you're doing something and you don't feel peace about it, you're almost setting yourself up at the very beginning to not have the kind of outcome that you want, because you're creating your reality, and you're creating your reality through your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs. That's what's really creating our reality. So the more I'm operating out of fear, the more I'm operating out of a vibration that does not bring about the kind of result that I want in terms of love, in terms of peace. So as much as possible, you want to make decisions that are in line with your heart and what feels right for you in your heart and what feels inspirational to you in your heart. Most people are making decisions out of a need for security more so than out of their heart. So when you talk to the average person, they're on a job that they don't like because they need to pay their bills. They're in a relationship that they don't like because they don't want to be alone. You know, you find that a lot of times it's about security and not about what's really inspiring me. So more and more you want to make choices that are in accord with your higher self, which is your feeling peace and feeling a state of joy and inspiration. Because we're trying to go to another level. We're not trying to live an ordinary life in an ordinary way. You know, that's not what this class is about. So it's not about coming to a class to reinforce what we've already learned from the world. It's actually about getting on our edge and seeing if we can kind of like stretch our mind beyond what we are normally taught. Now, before I go to the next part, which is a trip, did anybody hear anything that they'd like to discuss or anything that they have a question about or some clarity, they want to get clarity about it? Just want to make a comment.
Just briefly, you said thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs.
Yeah. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs. Our conscious and subconscious thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs that create our reality. That's what draws and creates the events in our lives. We're not taught that, you know. We're taught that we're a victim of circumstances, basically, and that things are just happening to us, and then we're trying to deal with it as best we can. We don't realize that we're more than what we think we are. And so the only difference between New Thought teachings and the world's teachings is that one says, I am responsible for what I experience, and the other one says, you are responsible for what I experience. Or, you're responsible for what I experience sometimes, and I'm responsible for what I experience sometimes. But when you wake up to the truth of who you really are, you recognize that there's not anything that's happening to you that's not being drawn to you based on your own consciousness and your own feelings and emotions and beliefs. It's just that we're not conscious of all of our emotions and beliefs. And so people think that their conscious thoughts about themselves is the whole deal. So if I ask you what you believe, what you really probably tell me is what you currently think you believe, which isn't the same as all your subconscious beliefs, all your program, and all your patterns. And if you would take into consideration even the ideas like reincarnation, the eternal validity of the soul, that we are more than what we think we are. So when we come in this experience, we are much bigger, and we're much greater than we think we are, and we have a lot more power than we think we do. So that's why the Course is always saying what you want to do is get in touch with your higher self. You want to get in touch with your inner guidance. We weren't just dropped in Earth school without a plan and without guidance. But when we get here, we're completely indoctrinated with false beliefs about reality. And then we are joined with other people who've learned the same false beliefs about reality. And we call it society, our culture. And then anybody that thinks different, they're the ones that seems to be the weird ones. So if you don't think the way we've been programmed to think, then people say, you're really weird. And the Course is saying, we overlook the most obvious indication that nothing that we've learned is true, which is very few people have complete peace and joy, which should be our first hint that the way we're doing it, there must be something about it that's not correct. Mm-hmm. Or else we wouldn't be in a world full of so much fear and conflict. But see, what keeps it going is this. And we were talking about in the Sunday class, what keeps it going is everybody believes everybody else is the problem. And so since most people believe that everybody else is the problem, nothing gets solved because it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with me. So if I change, you'd be happy. And I figured almost every class, because that's the most important thought in the book, is that thought that when he talks about the one thought that keeps people jammed up more than any other thought is, if you spoke or acted differently, or somebody else acted differently, then I'd be happy. That's the one belief he says that underlies all pain. So what do you think?
One of the delightful practices from the Course for me is holding in mind this idea of that what comes up in someone else that I choose to be upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Is reminding me now that my response to them is my call for love.
Right.
And perhaps what they have said or done is their call for love.
Right.
Because it just takes care of it. Laughter comes, you know, when that comes up, there's a sense of laughter and humor because it's absolutely true. And forgiveness is there too.
Mm-hmm.
And the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
So that practice, I don't think the Course is complicated. I think it's really simple.
No, that's what's hard about it.
It's hard to practice sometimes.
Well, think about it.
Worth it.
Think about it. The more complex something is, the longer you can wait to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people like complexity. Because with complexity, you don't have to actually change. It's so complex, one day, maybe, I'll get a chance. But if someone says, if I'm afraid, if I'm angry, if I'm going off, if I've done something wrong, that's a call for love. See, that's simple. And that you need to recognize it as being a call for love and a call for help. See, that's simple. Then I have to either decide whether or not I'm going to see it that way or not. And if I don't want to see it that way, then I'm going to justify it by coming up with some reason to attack you because I really want to attack you more than I want to see what you're doing as a call for love. So when you deal with simplicity, you just have to admit you don't want to do something. If you're dealing with complexity, you can claim you want to do it, but it's just too hard right now. And one day you'll get a chance to do it. So the Course is very simple, but it's very different. And so what happens is people get attracted to it until it hits their sacred cow, whatever that thing is that they're not ready to look at yet. And then, poof, all of a sudden the Course is too much and they got to go. And that's okay, you know, because really that's where you should start. You should actually start your study where you have, in a sense, you've just reached your issue, the one you need to go beyond. But what many people do is they study stuff and they just pick out the parts they like. And then everything that challenges them they don't put any energy into that. And so they get a bunch of different books and they just pick out what they like out of every book and then create their own personal path, which is cool if you want to do that, except that you're not really growing because all you're doing is doing what you already believe and what you already are open to. So you're not really stretching at all. You see what I mean? Yeah. So if I really want to expand my consciousness, then I'm going to have to challenge myself by hearing stuff that may be opposite to what I believe about myself or opposite to what I want to hear. And the Course is full of those kind of things. Like the thought, before you choose to do anything, ask me if what you're getting ready to do is in accord with me, and if it is, there would be no fear. See, that's very obvious. That's simple. If it's in accord with my higher self, and I'm in accord with myself, I won't have any fear. But if I'm the kind of person that's always in fear, always in conflict, always making decisions out of fear and conflict, then when I hear that, I go, I want to believe that I can be in conflict and the decisions that I'm making are good. See, that's the difference. The Course is so simple that it hits you right and, pow, I'm worried about if I'm going to pay my bills. Oh, you are sustained by the love of God. You're sustained by the love of your Creator. Well, see, if you don't believe in your Creator or that you have one or that you know how to communicate with it, then that thought is alarming. So what I need to do now is go get a teaching that says I can do it on my own, autonomously by myself. Let me go to as many workshops as I can get that will give me enough information so that I can take care of my own self without having to go to a higher self. See the difference? Mm-hmm. The Course is always like presenting you with the opportunity to like open it up, take it to another level. If you got a grievance against somebody and it's saying that forgiveness is the key to happiness, but you really want to hold a grievance, well, you're going to hate the book because you don't want to forgive the person, but you do want to have blessings. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So that's the way it does all the way through it. It makes you aware of what you really believe as opposed to what you're telling yourself you believe. And then it uses special love relationships as the main way to find out where you're coming from. Because that's where you really learn where you're coming from, is through the special relationships you have with the things around you. Not just people. That'd be a special relationship with your car, with your house, with your mate, with your money, with your looks, with your clothes, with your friends, with your dog. It's anything that you would put before your peace. And he says, that's your special relationship. It's anything that you would put before being true to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's your special relationship. It's a thing you do out of sacrifice. That's your special relationship. And sometimes because we're emotionally involved, it's very difficult to let go of something that you know isn't good for you if you're emotionally involved, even though intellectually you know it's not good for you. But because your emotions are involved, it's harder to let it go. So it's hard to realize something isn't good for you, but you're emotionally attached. And to know you need to either change that or release that. And you don't want to do it yet. So when you hear that it's the Course, I say, well, that's an unreal relationship. What's an unreal relationship? Oh, it's a relationship that you're full of guilt and fear and anger. Well, hell, that's what most relationships are full of. So then it's like, oh, my God, well, I'm not going to have any relationships at all. You know what I mean? So the person would like, then you have to make a choice. Do I really want to go for relationships that I really have peace in? Or do I still want to keep compromising forever with the ones that I don't have peace in? And so it does that all the time. You have to make a choice. At some point on the path, you have, like he calls it, the branching of the road. You really have to decide, do you really, really want to have peace or not? Do you really want to know your abundance or not? Do you really want to join? Do you really want to separate? So it says that fear and conflict are the same thing, and it's fear and conflict that keeps us separate from God, keeps us separate from love. So the book is about undoing fear. Because if we'll undo the fear, we'll see the love is already there. Love isn't something, like that whole term, making love, I think that's so funny. You can't make love with anybody. You can make fear with people. So a lot of people are making fear. They call it making love. But they're really making fear. Because who do you act the most crazy with? You used to act the craziest with the person you make love with. That's the one who sees most of your fear, most of your jealousy, most of your insanity, most of your scripts, the more intimate the relationship is, the more the fear comes up. So are you making love? Are you making fear? Just a question.
Good one.
Yeah, think about it. It's so easy. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. You can be in a relationship with somebody and just be incredibly close and be incredibly, can't get enough of each other, have to see each other all the time. Then something goes wrong and you can't even speak to each other. You see each other's king soup and you go down the other aisle. But this is the same person that you swore there would be undying love for forever. And that's what the Course is saying. There's a difference between making somebody special and loving somebody. those two things aren't the same thing.
Boy, that's so important.
but that's what runs more people away from the course. I've been doing this a long time, and nothing runs people away from the course more than what it teaches about what relationships is, because most people can't pull it off by themselves. They would have to be open to a higher way. They'd have to be open to guidance. Now, I can use my special relationship to learn what love is, and I can use my special relationship to allow love to be there. So I'm not saying you can't have special relationships. It's just saying that the special relationships of the world are not based on love. They're based on fear at first. And then as you begin to wake up, you can use that person to really learn what love is. But the way we do the game really isn't love, because love is equal. You know, love goes out to everyone. Love does not exclude anyone. That's what we count on with the Creator's love. We count on the fact that the Creator loves me as much as the Creator loves you. But suppose the Creator has special relationships with us. We hate that. That would freak us out. You know, if the Creator said, well, I love Selma, but Earl, sorry, buddy, I don't love you as much as I love Selma. That would freak us out. We like counting on the fact that the universe equally works for all of us equally, but we'll turn right around and form relationships that are not about that at all.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
It's when you understand that we are taught to be afraid of each other, it makes perfect sense. It makes or that if I have low self-esteem, then I want you to treat me better than you treat anybody else, because I need you to help me feel better about myself and to help me feel complete. So therefore, there's not enough love to go around. There's plenty of love to go around, right? But there's not enough specialness to go around. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. You know, if it's about specialness, then you're right. It's limited. You know, if I'm going to treat you better than anybody else, then I really do have to treat you better than anybody else. So specialness is limited. But if I'm going to love, mm-hmm, then love includes everybody. That's why love isn't that popular, but specialness is. So what we did, we just defined specialness as love. That's what the course is. We did. We just flipped it and we went, okay, let's call specialness love. But the truth is, specialness is not love. Specialness at first is fear, and then you want to, why? Because for who is it that you're most afraid of losing? The thing that's most special to you. You know. So anyway, I just wanted to share that to let you know that we're trying to go from fear to love. That's basically what I'm saying, is that we're trying to go from a fear-based thought system to a love-based thought system, and they're nothing alike.
And that's what I want to get to. I want less conflict.
Right, and it's about, okay, and that's what I want to get to, because he covers in here where conflict comes from. It's so simple that it's another one of those things that is so simple that it trip you out. So let's go a little bit further. It says, fear is always a sign of strain. Anybody else have another question or anything before I go?
I had a question.
Okay.
Just, I think I have a special relationship with truth, of course, which is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not altogether bad.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to ask you, as you being a teacher of this, and the truth, I love it so much I want to share it.
Right.
But then I know the course, you know, says we just have to hold it. So what do you do? You probably have processed this a long time, you know. But when you feel that urge to share.
No, it doesn't say that. It says that applying to yourself is the most important thing, but obviously it's okay to share it, or we wouldn't even be reading this.
Yeah, share it here.
Yeah.
I mean, out in the world.
Out in the world, if you get in touch with your inner guidance, you'll know who you can share it with, mm-hmm, number one.
Yeah.
Your guidance will direct you. I can sense, now after all this time, I know pretty much immediately. First of all, most people will, the once you tell the Holy Spirit that you're ready to learn, he says that those who need you the way you are will be sent to you. So again, if I'm letting my higher self be in charge, my higher self will send to me the people that are open to hearing it from me. Mm-hmm. This is an example of that right here. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't come out and grab nobody, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I didn't come and knock on your door, but you're here. And so my point is that the once I got serious about learning it myself, then the opportunities to share it just presented myself. So,
and you know, I'm serious.
Okay, so therefore you're surrounded by people that you can share it with.
And just trust you that more.
Yeah, and if you come, and again, if you're feeling like it's coming from spirit that's asking you to speak, there won't be any fear.
Yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it's really coming from, and you won't really be concerned about how they react one way or another. It's like whether they like it or don't like it won't really be that important to you if you're speaking from your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you're afraid to lose. And I find a lot of times when I don't communicate with people, they're usually people I'm in a special relationship with that I'm afraid to lose. And then that affects my desire to be as open and honest with them in my communication as I'd like to. Somebody that's not that special to me or somebody that I'm not afraid to lose, I'm very honest about my thoughts, my feelings, and emotions. So the more there's a fear of loss, the less honest the person is inclined to be. That's why in special relationships there's so many lies. Not because the people don't care about each other, because they're afraid of losing each other and they're so special to each other that they don't want to say something to the other one. They make something, they're going to lose the person. So that's why the person who's the most special is usually always the last one to know whatever their partner is doing. Yeah, whoever it is, because they're afraid of losing. And so you get so upset. Well, how come you didn't tell me the truth? You know, why did you lie to me? Well, because you're special. That's the price you paid for being special. I know you might leave me. I know you may be, you see what I'm saying? So if I really care about you, mm-hmm. and it's a possibility that I'm going to tell you something that could cause me to lose you, then a person will be inclined not to say the thing to you that's going to make them lose you. So if you're ever going to have honesty in a relationship, you have to not attack people when they say the stuff you don't want to hear. Because if you attack them when they say the stuff you don't want to hear, you're telling them, if you're honest with me, I'm going to attack you. And so they're going to start being honest with you, and they're going to start hiding their thoughts from you, and sooner or later you're not going to know who you're with. And then you're going to have a big surprise that's probably not going to be too pleasant at some point. But you don't realize you caused it by attacking them for communicating with you. And again, that's very common in relationships. I want you to be honest with me. Well, make it easier. You know, give me some kind of a payoff for being honest with you.
Right.
Don't just say, I should be honest with you when all I'm going to get is a lot of grief. Especially in most cases, since the special partner gives it more meaning than you do. That's another interesting about the special. It's like the person that feels threatened is usually giving your act more meaning than you've given the act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they walk in and you had a lunch with somebody, heaven forbid, lunch with somebody. But, you know, at the level of the world, people actually trip about stuff like that, which is to let you know that's how deep in the fear we are.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you didn't have to go through a bunch of stuff about the fact that you had lunch with somebody. But I remember that was what got me on the path. I got sick of the insanity of what we've been taught, and to me it looks insane. Like with most people, the kind of relationships that most people admire, I look at it as they're totally insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tempt
mm-hmm.
me at all. You know, it's like I think it's insane to be in a relationship that I can't have a female friend or a male friend, or I got to tell you every little thing I do, everywhere I go, what my motive is. To me, that's fear. To me, that's like obvious fear. But to most people, that's like normal. When you talk to them, they think that they're proud of the fact that they're like that. And for me, it's like, it's insane
mm-hmm.
to walk around afraid all the time and then call it love, you know. So that's what it's talking about here, the fear and the conflict. So what I find as far as having people to talk to is that they just kind of show up and present themselves, or I can just feel that it's okay. And if I really feel like I just have to talk it, then that's why I set up classes to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what you would call a marriage then?
To me, a marriage would be two people who saw each other as the perfect shelter in which each one could grow and be who they really are in love and unity and innocence and oneness. In other words, my relationship with you is a relationship that is helping me grow and be who I am, not one that's trying to shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relationship that's waking me up, not one that's putting me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's one where the main reason why we're with each other is to show each other that it's possible to have peace and love and oneness and passion and truth. In other words, all the stuff we read about, this becomes where we actually give each other a chance to actually physically experience it. So a real relationship to me is a relationship that's rooted in the idea of innocence and not the idea of guilt. It's rooted in the idea that I am you and you are me and we are connected and we are one. And not the idea that we are separate and in competition. You're a woman and I'm a man, and so we're so different. And you know, it's not focused on differences. It's focused on where we are the same, not where we're different. I think that's the biggest challenge with men and women, is that it's always the focus on you're a man and you're different and you got one agenda and I'm a woman and I'm different and I got another agenda. That may be true at the ego level, but at a spiritual level, we're two souls that are both trying to wake up to who we really are and get in touch with our creative power and our connection to our source. That's the real reason why we're here. Then we get here and then the commercials get hold to us. And then all of a sudden we're not important unless we're driving a certain kind of car or we got a certain kind of job. It's like we get all these values that take us away from the real reason why we're here.
So it would be hard if you're really into the course, I would think, to be in a special relationship with anybody that didn't understand that.
You could be in one with somebody that didn't understand that, but you'd have to be practicing your ass off. Really, because you would have to be forgiving over and over and over and overlooking and forgiving and overlooking and forgiving and overlooking and forgiving and overlooking and answering calls for love and answering calls for love, overlooking and forgiving, because they're not at the level that they can give you what you can give them.
So you're exhausted
all the time. Because and what my experience, because I mean I've had a mixed marriage before, that's what I call them. Those are relationships that you're always hearing, we got a process. Let's sit down and process. Let's sit down and process. Let's sit down and process. Let's sit down. Or, you know, you're constantly, like I say, you know, you're giving them the freedom because you're awake enough to know that it is about, letting them be who they are. They haven't learned that. So they're going to be perfectly willing to accept all the freedom that you're giving them. They won't have a problem with that. I've never heard a person say, I didn't want to have my own freedom.
Right.
Right. But then when you turn around and you want to express yourself, then they trip because they're not at the level that they can do that. So you have to always be the one that's doing all the forgiving, all of the compassion. And that's okay if that's what you want to do. But the real miracle comes from being with someone who's equal to you. The Course says the miracle lies in equality. So the more you are with someone who shares the same purpose as you, not necessarily have the same personality, we're not talking about personalities, but the same purpose, then you're going to have an incredible level of peace, you know. And what's been cool about the Course is that you learn through comparison and contrast. And so I've had the opportunity to have long-term relationships with people who were really on the same wavelength as me, and then I've had opportunities to have relationships with people who you care about, but they were on another wavelength. And what I mean by another wavelength is they still believe that specialness is love in the way that the world does it, that it's all about control, that they still believe in victimhood, they're not in touch. When you're in those relationships, you have a great time as long as it's just the two of you by yourself, because there's nobody to threaten anybody, or you're around other people who have the same limited beliefs you do. So then what you do, you just got a lot of separate people hanging out together, being separate together. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when a lot of couples go out together,
mm-hmm.
It's like they just as well be at home, so for some of them. Because when they go out together, I still can't talk to you, and I still can't talk to you, and I still can't, but we all sitting in the same room, and you with you, and you with you, and all of us, we talking to each other, and then we talk to each other. But there's not any real connection going, because everybody's still trying to protect their specialness. And those kind of situations bore me out of my mind. Because it's just like spending money, especially if you go out, it's like spending money to do the same thing you could do by yourself, you know, and at home, cooled out without ever having to get dressed and burn the gas and stuff. You know, if it's going to be me and you talking when we out, just like me and you talking when we are at home, why go out? But if we're going out and then we're extending and we're getting to know people and we're opening up to people because that's, to me, that's what communication and joining is. It's reaching out. It's connecting. If she and I have a real love with each other, she's not threatened because I'm talking to someone else, because she knows she can't lose. If you know you can't lose, there is no jealousy.
But what if you just don't want to talk to anybody else?
Well, then don't. But you should have that choice. That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be you can't talk to anybody else. So I'm talking about choice. I'm always talking about stuff that you want to do, not stuff that you feel like you're forcing yourself to do that you don't want to do. But, you know, so that's my, but again, you know, I make a lot of people mad. They didn't hear what I thought about a lot of stuff, but I don't talk about it a whole lot because as far as I'm concerned, I'm sitting up here in the room looking at different aspects of myself, looking back at me in the first place. I'm not even, it's not, to me, it's not even a bunch of separate people in this room. It's just the one, whatever it is that we are. And then we're all pretending like we're separate and we're different. And that's just a game that we're playing. But we all won. But if you try to live that way, like it's okay to talk it. But the minute you try to live that way, all of a sudden you see everybody's beliefs and their fears and everything else around that, you know. Because if you and I are one and I'm talking to her, then all of a sudden we're not one no more. You know, there's me and you, and then she's the competition now. Instead of being your sister in love, now she's the competition. So specialness, and a lot of times, brings up the idea of competition and the idea of fear, rather than we love each other. Wouldn't it be great to get to extend that love to you? And wouldn't that be great to extend that love to you? But people get love and sex and specialness so hopelessly confused that when it really boils down to it, that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid that when you say you want to love everybody, it's the same as saying you want to bed with everybody, and you want to have sex with everybody, and it's my partner going to have sex with somebody over there, and they're going to steal somebody from me. You know, so it brings up so much that in most cases, I always advise fearful people to be monogamous by all means and have your rules and your boundaries and your agreements, because if you don't, you're not going to enjoy your relationships. If you're a fearful person, then you need rules in order to enjoy yourself. If you know that you need to know what your limits are, and you need to honor those limits. I tell people that all the time. It's like, whatever you do, you know, act within what makes you feel peace right now while still trying to move to other levels as you can. But don't condemn yourself. You know, if you honestly would freak out if your partner went out to the movies with somebody else, don't just because you're studying the course try to force yourself to let that happen even though you're about to have a heart attack at home while they're gone. You know, because that's just increasing your fear, which is what the course is not about, the increase of fear. It's about the decrease of fear. So it'd be much better to say when you meet somebody, you know what, if you want to be in a special relationship with me, you're going to have to be, you know, monogamous. You know, you have to, you know, not go out with other people but me. You know, I don't like, whatever your boundaries are, you just straight up about it. And then you give them an opportunity to say yay or nay, because if someone joins with you and they agree with you, where's the conflict? There is no conflict in the relationship. But see, when you don't love yourself, you don't allow yourself to be attracted to somebody that's like you. When you don't love yourself, you're always attracted to the person that's the opposite. So therefore, they'll be the ones who are the last ones that want to do it the way you want to do it. Because if you love yourself, you want harmony. If you don't love yourself, you want opposition and conflict. You know, so you'll be the introvert that's attracted to the extrovert. You'll be the person that likes to get high that's attracted to the person that don't like to get high. You'll be the person that wants to travel, who wants to sit in front of the TV all the time. You see what I'm saying? You see it all the time. Because that keeps conflict going unless you've gotten to the point that your love is so great that you really understand that love is really about letting people be. So you would really be okay with that person being with you or not being with you when you went out dancing or not dancing or whatever, because your love is big enough to encompass that. So you wouldn't be attacking them for being different from you. You know, but me personally, what's the point of being in a relationship with somebody I don't do anything with? That's just me. You know, that's just me. That's just my own personal preference. I want a partner I can talk to. I want a partner I can go out with. I want a partner that we can. You know, I want some, if I'm going to be on a partnership, let's do it. You know, I don't want to always go out by myself. Okay, here I am in a relationship with you. You don't want to do anything I want to do, yet I'm supposed to go out and not do it with anybody else either. So what kind of a deal is that, have I set myself up for? You know, I'm being faithful to you, which means I don't do anything at all with anybody else. You don't want to do anything I want to do. So now I'm in a relationship and I don't have the benefits of either world.
Been there, done that.
We all have. We all have done that at one time or another. But when you love yourself, it really doesn't make any difference whether you're in a special relationship at all. That's how you'll know when you've really gotten to the point that you love yourself. Even a relationship will become something that's just a total choice, just like anything else. You're like, oh, I'm with you because I'm whole and complete and you're whole and complete, and I'd be okay without you, but I want to be with you. Now, that's a real relationship. I can't live without you, and I kill myself if you're not nowhere around me. That's the same person that killed you. The person that would kill themselves if you weren't there is the same person that could kill you. Because what you'd be willing to do to yourself, you'd certainly be willing to do to somebody else. You've seen a lot of that in the news lately. I mean, I think we're getting a great example of that in the news lately. People are hating themselves and then killing everybody else, and then they're killing themselves before anybody can get to them, which really infuriates everybody because they wanted to kill them. So they didn't want to, you know, you're depriving us of our opportunity to kill you ourselves. That's right. To get back at you by killing yourself. So to murder somebody and commit suicide, you're depriving us of our idea of justice, which is, of course, is vengeance. You're not giving me a chance to get vengeance, okay? So, but then the whole death thing is a trip anyway, because the truth is nobody dies. The truth is nobody dies, and that nobody dies unless they choose to die.
Yeah.
And there's no one who accidentally dies at the hands of anyone else. There are just souls who decided to leave their bodies at a particular time that's chosen to go in different ways. And some of those ways look like you're the victim of somebody doing something to you. That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Karmically speaking, just, you know, the guy who's doing the shooting, I'm just really having a lot of compassion for, obviously, the people he shot, but just karmically speaking, you know, have to come back and work that out again.
Well, if you accept that idea of reincarnation, that would be true.
Yeah.
But the Course says that it's not, not important whether or not a person believes in reincarnation or not. If there's going to be a change, you can only do it now. And not in another life, but in this one. So it doesn't say that there's not. As a matter of fact, it just says, you know, for those who do believe in that, that you should not believe that unless your higher self tells you not to. But the only time that anything can be changed is now. And that's what I'm beginning to get after all these years. It's like, if I could reduce it to one sentence, it would be, I realize that the point of power is the present. And if there's anything that I'm going to change or affect in my life, I have to do it now and not tomorrow and not yesterday, but now.
Now.
The power is now. And every time that the Course says that, how you put it, he says you don't deserve future happiness, that future happiness is nothing but a punishment. It's you deciding that you need to wait a little while longer before your joy happens, because there's some level you think you deserve to be punished. So you say, I'll be happy next week, next year, the next relationship, the next job. He said that's just you projecting your own peace into the future, instead of doing what you could do today that could transform the whole thing.
That was always my thing about people who save for retirement and, you know, say, when I retire, I'm going to do it. It didn't work for me. I was kind of like, why would you wait for anything?
I can always see how they could do both. Or the parents who are going to give gifts, financial gifts to their children after they die. It's like, why don't you give the financial gift to your kid so you can see, so you can enjoy it with them, see their appreciation for it, or whatever, you know. Or I know couples that are in their 80s who are very financially solvent who won't even buy a new car.
I know.
Because they're still trying to save for that grand. It's like, you're not going to be around for many more rainy days. Don't even worry. Just like, at what point do you let go of the fear enough to go, I'm going to express myself and I'm going to live now? You know, and that's what I want. I'm a now freak right now. Right now, I'm a now freak. I'm not going to be a now freak tomorrow.
How about right now?
About right now. I'm about it right now. I'm going to do the love offering now. So I didn't realize it was almost 1 o'clock.
If you think about it, my birthday is Saturday.
at any point that you can send me some light for this upcoming year, I appreciate it. As an astrologer, I've looked at my chart, and the next year is going to be a configuration in my chart that I've never seen in all the years that I've done it. So the next year should be unbelievable for me, one way or the other. I'll get it.
Yeah.
What that means, depending on where I'm coming from, these are going to be the best or the worst year I've ever had in my life.
Square or triangle?
Everything. Every planet in my chart is being affected at the same time.
Wow.
And that's the first time I've ever experienced every one.
Wow.
And by all the planets have to do with regeneration, transformation, death, change, endings. Yeah, thank you. Fortunately, the advantage of knowing this is so that I can choose to use it in a very positive, loving way. But I find that when I'm not in denial and I look at it from both sides, like what could be the worst thing that I could choose for myself, as well as what could be the best, then I've noticed that what's the challenging stuff tends not to happen when you're not in denial about it. If you go ahead and just look at it right in the face, okay, this is the year that blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah could happen. Okay, thank you. Okay, what is the lesson out of those things? Oh, that would be what the lesson would be if I went through all of that. Well, guess what? I'm going to practice the lesson now. I'm going to go ahead and do what those things would have taught me to do now, so therefore I don't need the circumstances to bring me to that conclusion.
So your awareness.
That's where your awareness comes in, you know. And then the other side of it is it could be the most spectacular illumination, transformation, realization, everything I've ever dreamed of is at that level too. It just won't be in an in-between state. It won't be in between at all. It'll be one or the other.
And still working it over, huh?
Oh, it's getting ready to, you know, well. I'm just talking about my own personal chart. You know, it's like if I'm always doing everybody else's, of course I'm looking at mine. And I just had never, in all the years that I've done it, which is close to 30 years, I've just never seen this configuration that I'm seeing in my own. Mm-hmm. And so it's like...
What is it called?
It's called Goddamn. It's like, that's right there in the book. Goddamn! Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah,
I like that. God,
I said it's called God.
It's like,
no, yeah.
It's like, woo! But that's what's been so cool, though, about doing it so long is just that. I've learned that things that you are aware of very seldom happen in its negative expression. It's the things that you're not aware of. And that's what's so cool, what I like about people, when people have sessions and stuff, they'll find that just by hearing about it and the lesson of it and the positive way to use it, then you avoid the negative connotations of it. So when I say this, it's just part of me being honest with myself about what I presented to myself, and then I know I'm the one that ultimately determines how it manifests. Because I'm the creator of my experience. You see, that's the cool thing about knowing the core. And I know I'm not alone. And I know I have guidance. And I know I have invisible support. And I, you know, all those things come in. But I already see it happening. I mean, I'm already experiencing it on psychological, emotional, all kinds of levels right now.
Is it that you're going to go fast?
It's more like everything that I've been putting in my mind, working on for years and years and years and years and years, that this is the time that those things will start to manifest in a physical way. I tell people a lot of times that I feel like I'm trapped in the truth. It's like when you talk to most people, it's like they still think they got a choice. Well, I kind of like this, and maybe it's true, and then I can go back and do it like the world does, and then I can decide whether or not I'm going to try to do this new way. But for me, where I am after all the years that I've been doing this is that this is the way it works. Every thought that you're taking in and you're accepting is true, picture it like a seed that you planted. At some point, it's going to germinate. And then it becomes the physical thing that's in front of you that you're dealing with. Okay. So if I've been putting all these thoughts in my mind for years and years and years, what's happening is that my physical reality is beginning to reflect these thoughts back to me, which means that, okay, a color analogy would be a lot better. If I've been putting planting red seeds, at some point I've got a red reality, and I can only meet the red reality by my own redness. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So all the truth that I've been studying, my reality is now demanding that I live that truth.
So you've
got to read what you saw. Yeah, in other words, my reality is coming back to me at the level that I've been learning. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I can't philosophize. I must see what you do as a call for love. I must say I create my own reality. I must choose the feelings I experience. I can no longer see myself as a victim. For real. I can't play around with, oh, I'm not a victim, and then walk around and he get mad at everybody all day like they're doing something to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's that point for me that I have to live my truth. I can't philosophize about it. I can't just talk about it like you can do at the beginning. At the beginning, you can talk it and read it and still live your ego in reality the way you've always lived it, and it looks like it's kind of working out.
So you're going to live in your lab coat because you're in the lab.
And it's a good thing, because the cool thing about it is that what I've been giving myself has been very loving, beautiful, powerful mm-hmm. teaching. So when I say that, I don't mean that in any kind of a way, like, it just means my ego, quote unquote, ego Earl doesn't have a reality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he doesn't have a world anymore. He can't attack.
So what's the negative in that?
The negative in that is if I have any kind of residual self-hatred that I haven't taken a look at, okay. anything that I've hidden, then I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. Whatever I'm fooling myself about, deceiving myself about, not being honest with myself about, I'm going to see it.
But isn't that how it works anyway? Because if I say I love you, all the reasons that I love you will come up for me to resolve them so I can really love you.
But I'd have to do what I've been taught to resolve that. Actually, it's a difference between you being told in a book, when someone is angry or attacking you, that's a call for love, and then you later decide whether or not you want to see it as a call for love. And being on a level of consciousness where if you want that energy to be neutralized, you have to actually see it as a call for love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. That's the difference. One is it looks like you can kind of decide whether or not you're going to use it or not. And the other one is, this is the way you've got to live. I see very few people live what they see, what we study. Personally,
you've
got to
live it.
I got to live it. My reality is this. My reality is not the reality that most people are in. My world is not the world that most people are in.
So if I don't,
like if I attack, then I get a reflection. Whatever I do, I get the reflection back immediately. It's not like I do something today and then I get the result of that. Like we do it. You know, it's like we do something today and then 6 months later, it'll look like we get that back.
Okay?
The way my reality is when I'm loving, I'm met with love. If I'm attacking, then it comes back at me the exact same way I come at it. There's no space between anymore. If I think something and believe it in my heart, I see it within 24 hours. Where I used to do that, and maybe it would be 6 months later before I saw that. If I wake up in the morning and I have a need, you know, this is a classic example. I had a center in Memphis for a long time, and I had been working like 3 or 4 years straight, hadn't taken a vacation, just been doing my classes. And I was coming to class one day, and I said, you know, I need to take about a month. I talked to the Holy Spirit like that. I need to take about a month off. I need some time to myself. To regenerate, but I had this center with the bills and everything, and went there to do the class, and then when the class was over, I went to the love offering basket, and it was a check for $5,000 in there. That was the same time, and that's what I mean. If I say I'm ready to have a relationship, it is not, I said I'm ready to have a relationship, and then it's weeks later before one show up. You know, whatever, the more you believe it, the less time there is between when you make a statement about what you're about and when you see the manifestation. So you have to really be true to what you say you're about. And the kind of stuff that I'm getting ready to go through now is the caterpillar to the butterfly, the tadpole to the frog. You see what I'm saying? Where you go through the actual death, transformation of the old self, and then you're reborn into something totally new, which means that all of the structures that you've created around you, so like when the caterpillar, or the, what's the thing, the snake, when the snake sheds the skin, right, it leaves the skin behind, even though the skin was what was encased it. Well, this is my skin. Everything is my skin. Everything that I'm involved with now, everything that I'm doing, it's like that's all. So I don't know what's going to stay. I don't know what's going to leave as part of the new rebirth. That's my point.
What an amazing gift, though, I think, for all of your time and perseverance and willingness and openness to be able to experience that and get the immediacy of it.
Like, yes.
I think of that.
Yes.
I think it's amazing for you. I'm so excited.
Yes, and that's why I'm excited about it, too, because I'm willing to do what I'm being asked to do.
Even if it's difficult, and even if it's
what
a beautiful gift from the universe.
And then, but I have to be honest with myself to go that I have an ego. My ego, it gets attached to things just like anybody else's ego. You see what I mean? So it's like important not to be in denial about all of myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you're not in denial, then there's no need for anything to be really as challenging. But for me to sit up here and to say to you all that there's no aspect of that would be frightening would be crap.
Yeah.
No more than you could say the same thing. You know, but it's easy to say that about somebody else. Like you say, to tell somebody else, oh, you just should feel really great about that. You know, yeah, but when you're going through it, it's a whole different deal.
Right.
You know, and so that's why I like people to tell me all of their feelings instead of just trying to be positive when they're around me. Because you don't feel good about everything. I don't care how much you read or study, there's a part of you that'll sometimes have fear about the unknown. And if you pretend that you don't have that part of you, that's when it bites you in the butt. But anything that you're willing to look at, the Course says you can have it dispelled. You can have a fear dispelled that you look at. But you can't dispel a fear that you're trying to pretend you don't have because you're trying to be positive. That's two different things. And you run across that a lot on the spiritual path, where people are in denial and they think that if they admit anything less than always feeling good all the time, somehow it means they're missing the boat. And that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous to your safety and your peace to pretend like you don't have anger when you know you're mad. Or to pretend like you don't feel depressed when you feel you're depressed, just because you're trying to be spiritual. That's the stuff that bites you in your butt. I'm going to tell you, because I see people do that all the time, and then they always have things happen to them that they don't understand why they happen, and they go, I'm so nice, and I'm so loving, and I'm studying this stuff. So why did that happen to me? You're in denial about your anger. You're in denial about your fear. And so it's making itself known through your physical reality so you get honest with yourself. So it's much better for me to say, God, I'm looking at some stuff in my chart that could be extremely illuminating and beautiful, and I'm looking at some stuff that could, if I put my ego in charge, that could bite me in the butt. I'm much more likely not to do the ego stuff if I do that than if I say, oh, none of this stuff in here could ever present me with any kind of challenge whatsoever. You know? So just get, so really, I'm going to end this today on telling you, always be honest with yourself about what you feel, even if you're not honest with anybody else. Don't lie to yourself and pretend that you feel something that you don't really feel. You know, say how you feel to yourself, because it's just your call for love. It's just your call for love. But yeah, it's exciting, and it's also like, okay, I've got to let go of my attachments. That's the main thing. That's the main message, is that don't be attached. Be completely loving, but be willing for everything to change if it has to. And yeah, flexibility beyond anything, like Cirque du Soleil kind of flexible. You know what I'm saying? That's where I got to be with my life right now. Yeah, I got to be. Yeah, it's like Earl's got to like take off all the scripts for his reality other than peace.
Wow.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
May I say something?
Yes.
Strength through peace. There's a gentleman running for president. His wife is here today.